You know, we're all very familiar with Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be, you know, we quote that every year. But there's another verse right after it, and it says this: therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. She's going to sit there and she's going to watch Joseph go into exile. She's going to sit there and watch the sons of Israel go into exile. But God has a plan so amazing that he tells her not to weep. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Rachel thinks that once they've gone, they're not coming back. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. Jeremiah 31, verses 15 through 17. She's still there. Pilgrims still go to her tomb. But guys, God's promise is still there too, that the sons of Israel are going to come home, and that after a very special birth, they'll be given up for a season. But then after that birth, God is going to start bringing them home. And I believe we're seeing that in the very hour in which we live, as the sons of Israel and the sons of Judah come to faith in the Messiah. Back in chapter 35, verse 22, our attention is suddenly drawn away from Rachel to the firstborn son of Leah. This is one of those weird insertion verses where you wonder, well, what is this here for? Verse 22, it came about while Israel was dwelling in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now, sometimes I get a little, I really enjoy reading what the sages have to say, and then other times I get real frustrated. Because sometimes it seems like they try to make the text say everything other than what the text actually says. And a simple reading of the text implies that Reuben had sexual relations with his mother's concubine. The sages say that didn't happen. The sages say that what really happened is that after Leah and Rachel both died, that Jacob moved his couch into Bilhah's tent, and Reuben, being the firstborn son of Leah, was infuriated by this because he had watched his mom have to strive after bringing all these, giving all these sons to Jacob, still being the unloved wife. And so their tradition is that he goes in and he basically moves it out. And the disturbing of that couch is like unto what the text implies. I think I'll just leave it with what the text implies, because neither one of them answer the question as to why this is here. But the reality is that it's there for a very important reason, because we are beginning to see why Reuben, the firstborn son, is not going to receive the double portion blessing that is due him. Reuben, whatever he did, made a huge mistake. He had the right of headship of the family. He should have had the right of the double portion blessing, but he did what he did. Now, these type verses are there, and whenever you find these weird verses, you need to ask why they're there, because usually they're there as a precursor, sort of telling you this information is going to become significant down the way. And it's interesting that it's paired right after the discussion of the birth of Rachel's second son, Benjamin, and you're thinking about the sons of Jacob, you know, for Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, because Joseph is actually going to be the one that receives the double portion blessing because of Reuben's mistake. Well, let's look at verses back to chapter 35 as we close out these last few verses. You guys are so quiet tonight.